Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Jesus Christ, throughout his ministry, often taught in parables. He did this because parables turn the world that we know of upside down. They get us thinking in different ways. To coin a phrase, we think out of the box. More importantly, parables help us to see how God operates. In the gospel this weekend, we hear of the parable of the landowner. Now, our first reaction upon hearing this is we think it's unfair and unjust the way the landowner treats his workers. Yet, what Jesus is trying to teach us, as well as the prophet Isaiah, our way of thinking is not God's way. A great analogy to help you understand this a little bit clearer is that of the child and the parent. A child will say, "It is unfair, it is unjust for my parents to force me to go to bed at 8 o'clock at night, rather than staying up till midnight." The child will say, "It is unfair, it is unjust for my parents to force me to eat fruits and vegetables and drink my milk every day, rather than eating ice cream anytime I want." The parent sees and knows so much more that is good, healthy, and safe for that child. Yet the child sees from a very narrow perspective. Therefore, it's only natural for that child to conclude that from time to time their parents are unjust. Now take that analogy and apply it to the spiritual life. We too see things with a very narrow perspective, sometimes in our life or even in the world, versus God, who sees all with a complete and overall perspective. He sees the big picture. He sees the great scheme of things. And see, therein lies the problem. From our perspective, we see things in our life that may appear unjust, yet we fail to see and understand all the implications. We fail to see the complete perspective that God does. I'll give you some examples. We look out into the world and we see a young woman who is married and has maybe 2 kids, and yet she's dying of cancer. We say, "That's unfair. That's unjust." We also look out into the world and we see an elderly person, maybe in their 90s, in a nursing home. All of her relatives, her loved ones, have died, and now she too wants to leave this world. She longs to be with all of her loved ones in heaven. Yet she lingers on here, day after day after day. We see those two and we say, "That's unfair. That's unjust." Or how about our brothers and sisters in our sister parish in Peru? They have to struggle each and every day of their lives to provide food for their family. They have to struggle just to clothe their children and provide shoes for them to wear. Yet in our country, we see from time to time these dishonest individuals that cheat corporations or steal from their pension funds, and they make millions of dollars doing it, and they never get caught. And we say, "That's unfair. That's unjust." Well, when we see these things in this world, or maybe in our own life, what we have to do is turn to the first reading, to the book of the prophet Isaiah. For Isaiah says, "Let him turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God who is generous and forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts." Isaiah is trying to tell us that our perspective of the world is like a child. We are finite creatures, and there's only so much we can see, take in, and understand. While God's perspective is complete, God sees the great scheme of things. He sees the big picture. Therefore, what's the key? To trust. Trust in God. God's ways are just, even when it doesn't appear that way. There's a great and most famous Zen story. It's very popular, and I think very applicable for the lesson that Jesus and Isaiah are trying to teach us this weekend. It's a story about a farmer. The farmer for years worked with his horse to till the soil, plant the crops, harvest them. One day, the horse ran off. Now, the farmer's friends heard about this, and they went to him, and they expressed their pity for him. And they said, "How unfortunate it is that you have lost your horse." The farmer responded by saying, "We'll see." A week later, the horse returned, and it returned with two other wild horses. Now, the farmer's friends heard about this, and they came to him, and they said, "How fortunate it is for you. What great luck that now you have your old horse back and two new ones for free." The farmer's response, "We'll see." A week later, the farmer's son was riding one of the wild horses. The horse threw the son off, and the son broke his leg. Now, the farmer's friends heard this, and they went to him, and they said, "How unfortunate it is for you. What bad luck that your son fell and broke his leg." The farmer's response, "We'll see." A week later, the king dispatched his soldiers to go out into the countryside and recruit young men for the army, for he was preparing for war. The soldiers went to the farm. They saw the farmer's son and that he had a broken leg. And so they went on. They didn't recruit him because of his ailment. Now the farmer's friends heard this, and they went to the farmer and they said, "What great luck you have. How fortunate you are, for they did not recruit your son into the army." The farmer's response, "We'll see." Notice now the farmer's response, "We'll see." The farmer doesn't fully grasp or understand if each of the events were good or bad luck. His friends pretend that they think that they understand. But the farmer knows, in the grand scheme of things, anything can quickly change. What looks like the worst possible luck that could have befallen us could be the best thing that ever happened to us in our life. What looks like injustice is probably part of God's grand scheme or overall plan. Now, with that perspective, go back into the gospel. The workers that started in the morning are complaining about their wages. Their immediate response is one of injustice. But what might appear unjust on the surface may not be underneath. The landowner sees far more important underlying issues versus the disgruntled workers that have a very narrow perspective. Maybe the landowner saw that those that were hired later on in the day were desperate and filled with anxiety because they couldn't find work. Maybe the landowner saw that the workers that he hired later on in the day began to feel a sense of failure or lack a sense of self-worth. See, that could be the reason why he gave them a full day's wage. And so the landowner is showing us what may look unjust or even evil on the surface may not be so in the grand scheme of things. Yet what's the temptation we must avoid? Having our faith based upon a quid pro quo system. We say to God, "God, I will go to Mass, I will pray, I will perform the works of charity, and in return, I want to be blessed in these areas of my life." The problem here is this is not how God operates. Nor is a strong and long-lasting relationship with Jesus Christ based upon a quid pro quo system. Furthermore, when we encounter any type of unjust or unfair treatment in our life or in this world, a quid pro quo mentality to our faith won't sustain us, nor help us persevere or overcome that source of injustice. But instead, a relationship that is based on mutual favors is doomed when trouble arises. And therefore, our faith, rooted strongly in Jesus Christ, will see that God's perspective of everything in this world is handled justly, even though we may not see that from our own perspective. My friends, what Isaiah and Jesus are teaching us this weekend is a very powerful lesson. God's ways are not our ways. The way God thinks and acts is not the way that we would, and therefore it requires trust on our part. Yet, even if we find ourselves, from time to time, crying out to God about injustice, whether it is in our life or in the world, one thing that I would suggest that would help you cope or deal with that injustice is simply go and sit before the crucifix. Yes, sit before the crucifix. Look at Jesus on the cross, because it was those same words, "This is unfair, this is unjust, this is wrong." It was those same words that Mary and John and the others cried out at the foot of the cross as they watched Jesus Christ die before their own eyes. God's ways are not our ways, and therefore it requires trust on our part. Trust in the Lord. And may the peace and the grace of Christ rest upon you always.